Alrighty, folks, we are back with another AmeriCorps alum, and this is a super special one. I know, I feel like I've been saying that recently, but I'm just telling you, like the gems are coming out of the woodworks. It's just so much fun. So this is the AmeriCorps Connections podcast, and I'm Nikki Fiacco, and I'm the founder and the brainchild behind this podcast. And every week we get to hear from an AmeriCorps alum and discover through the through line of national service into their now passion and their projects that they're working on. Sometimes it's a straight line, but oftentimes it's winding with obstacles and surprises along the way. And on this podcast, we get to discover some of those things. In sharing these stories, I really, really hope that the greater United States, or the greater world for that matter, begins to understand the importance of service and volunteerism. Service and volunteerism brings us together. We stand together within communities and environments, and we work together to solve the problems at that time. So I've heard from several experts that volunteerism and national service are the keys to solving the crisis of loneliness. And according to our own Surgeon General, there is a real crisis of loneliness, and it is actually associated with greater risks of all kinds of things like cardiovascular disease, stroke, depression, anxiety. So my solution is, everybody jump on into a service year and serve in AmeriCorps and come together with your community. So that's my soapbox. I'm going to step off of that for a second. And I just want to do my usual shout outs to the great team at Do Good, Be Good, who are providing support for this podcast, both marketing and production. Thank you so much for trusting me and believing in me and supporting this podcast. They do provide training for AmeriCorps programs, and they are staffed by all AmeriCorps alums. And of course, Dan Medevier from Time or Money Productions, who was the first one to step up and say, this is a cool podcast. Like, what's your RSS feed and how are you doing this? And blah, blah, blah. And he said all these things. And he was able to get this podcast on all of your podcasting platforms. So thank you, Dan, who is an NCCC alum. So thank you so much. But I want to jump in right away with our guest that we have today, which is Gordon Rooney. And Gordon Rooney has quite a background. And just a quick note, when I was down in South Carolina serving as the executive director for the State Service Commission, Gordon put in an application to be part of the commission. If you don't know, each service commission across the country has a board or commission of all different folks that support the work of the commission. And Gordon threw his name in the hat, and I was so happy to be there because I was able to interview him, get to know him, and actually invite him to join the commission when I was down there. And he's still there. So that is amazing. So we're going to talk about your service on the South Carolina State Service Commission. He's a City Year alum, which is very cool. And that's why he's on the podcast. And recently, the bookend of January 31st, 2023, he was announced as the Daily Points of Light. And we'll go into that as well. If you don't know about the Points of Light Foundation, we'll touch on that a little bit. But every day they find somebody who's doing amazing things in service. And when Gordon's name popped up there, I was like, I got to get this guy on my podcast. So Gordon, let's start with number one. What was your call to action? What was your hero's journey with your national service experience?
Wow. Nikki, first of all, thanks for this invitation to be on the podcast. And this is really special for me because, like you said, we worked together when you were serving with the South Carolina Service Commission. So for when I was about to graduate from the University of Texas, I was looking for ways to serve. And most of my family was in South Carolina, still is. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look for a place to serve, a way to serve. And I'm also going to try to see if I can do that in South Carolina. And at the time, my girlfriend, now wife, was in Charleston. So that was also important. And honestly, I just did a search on the internet to see what was out there. And City Year caught my attention. And, you know, I obviously looked over the website quite a bit, and it looked like something that was worth pursuing. And so from 2010 to 2011, I served with City Year in Columbia. And it was It was quite the experience. Why did I look for senior year in the first place? I come from a family with mostly a military background. Myself, I grew up mostly on military bases, on Air Force bases. My dad's in the Air Force, and so my parents had that, have always had that public service mindset. And so this is sort of the family that I grew up in. And so I think I was naturally inclined to look for something like that. And I was fortunate to find an opportunity to serve in South Carolina. So that's how I got into it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you explained why you were looking for service in the first place. That was going to be one of my questions, is what was the little voice that spoke inside of you of, okay, I'm finishing my college career and I could go in and try to find a fellowship and try to find a career, but there was something inside of you and it was manifested through your experience with your family that like going to serve your community back at home was something, a spark that you definitely wanted to follow. You said New York, your college experience was in New York?
Texas.
Texas, I'm sorry.
University of Texas.
University of Texas.
Yep.
Nice. Go Longhorns. No, is that true? I don't know.
Longhorns, you're
Longhorn?
right.
Ah,
Yeah.
I said it just because like I feel like Texas has a lot of Longhorn cows. I don't know. So what was your experience from the Longhorn state? I guess it's the one star state to South Carolina or back to South Carolina. And let's reflect on your city year. What did you do? And where did you go? Where did you go next after that service year?
Yeah, well, I think there's like three questions in there. So,
Definitely there were.
I grew up on military bases growing up because of my dad's career. We moved every 2 to 3 years. And so, just to give some context, I graduated from high school from a small high school in a small Texas town called Burke Burnett, about 5 miles from the Oklahoma border. And so I was already in Texas and went to University of Texas and had a great experience and a good great experience in the Lone Star State. I love it whenever I get to visit Texas. But the family was in South Carolina, and my family roots are from South Carolina, specifically the Charleston area. And so I was looking for a way to get back there. So with City Year, and also I think so I was looking for a way to serve, but I think I should also note that I was very close to joining the Air Force myself, and some other things came about and some other opportunities, and just how life is, it kind of a like zigzag sometimes. And
Yes.
I ended up not joining the Air Force. And so for me, when I was looking for when I was thinking about what I wanted to do next, and I had a lot of ideas, maybe law school, maybe the Peace Corps, a lot of ideas were swirling around, but I knew I wanted to do something service-wise, and City Year just happened to be the opportunity that I settled on. Of course, I packed up my bags and moved to Columbia, South Carolina, and joined the team at City Year. And I think you're familiar with City Year, but Corps members serve as tutors, mentors, and role models in some of the most challenging schools. And a part of the idea is that if the Corps members can provide some extra attention to students who need it, then the teachers in the classroom can move on with the lesson, right? And so the rest of the class can keep moving forward. And so I had the opportunity to experience that. I served as a senior Corps member, and also as the site's my title was External Affairs Project Leader, and so I did a number of things.
Fancy.
Right? Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So I did a number of things. There's one, I handled the site's social media channels. Two, I solicited in-kind donations. As an AmeriCorps member, I couldn't ask for donations, but I could ask for in-kind donations. So I did a lot of that. And my main focus was on recruiting the next core of Corps members. So the City of Columbia site had, and I think it's about the same numbers now, 25 Corps members. And so I wanted to make sure that we had a good group of folks who would come in after my cohort to do the important work that was being done in the community. And what's neat about City Year is we have the core members have what they're doing in the schools, but on top of that, there's another service component with it where we were able to work with a number of nonprofit organizations in the Columbia community throughout the Midlands. So in South Carolina, we generally have the Lowcountry, the Midlands, and the Upstate, right? So Columbia is in the Midlands, and there are lots of great nonprofits doing critical work. And when school was not in session, or when the middle school, the high schools were closed, we were able to go and provide extra support to some nonprofits in the community. So that was also another fun aspect of my service here.
Yeah. And a funny thing, when I was down in South Carolina, we were doing a staff retreat at a museum down there, right in Columbia. It's right on the water. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but we were finishing up our retreat, and all of these red folks in red jackets walked in, and we went, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
And it was the initiation of a city year. And as a commission, we were like, crap, I wish we would have known about this. It would have been a great like photo op and able to say, hey, welcome to AmeriCorps. So I think that's also when you said the benefits of city year, I was going to jump in and say the red jacket.
Red jacket. Yeah. And during my year, we also had a cool experience where the logo, which is if you've ever been to City Hall there in Columbia, there's the City Year logo is sort of diagonally from across the street from City Hall. And when I was there, they repainted it. And then the mayor and city council had a whole ceremony to sort of unveil the renewed, newly painted City Year logo on the street there. So that was pretty cool too.
That's so fun. So you, I mean, this is quite a different experience from going into the Air Force, right? Like that's different. The Air Force is in the air. This was on the ground. This was in schools. So after your service year, like how did you find your North Star? Like where did you, and also like during your service year, so I'll only ask two questions this time. During your service year, was there some type of perspective change where you were like, ah, wait a minute. And did that lead you to your North Star? So that was kind of one question, but with two layers.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's something to think about. I think my North Star has shined a little brighter over time, if that makes sense.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah, like I think you're somebody who can appreciate that. So I mentioned that my family is inclined, especially my parents, to serve, you know, especially with their dedication to the Air Force and serving the country in that way. And by the way, I say my parents, while my dad served in uniform, it was with the support of my mother that my father did so well and had the support that he did in his 33 years in the Air Force. So yeah, so shout out to the military families out there who support those men and women in uniform. But so I grew up in that environment. And yeah, I think I grew up on military bases where I was around men and women serving in uniform all the time. And later in my dad's career, I had even access to diplomats and colonels and generals. And I was, you know, it's kind of funny, when I was in high school, I would, you know, my dad would make me stay home and sort of like, you know, answer the door when people would come by for a house party or something that he would hold right on the base, especially when he was base commander, the wing commander at Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas. So I had that sort of baseline setting of service and appreciation for service.
Mm-hmm.
And then when going through city year, I think another layer was put on top of that. And what I mean is city year is very education focused, but we were also doing a lot of service activities in the community. So it's not like we would only see what was going on in some of the most challenging schools. We would also get to experience what was also happening in the community generally, right? And
right.
Where there were challenges, where there were looked like, you know, successes, opportunities. And But especially on the education piece, I'd say one of the things that I took away from that experience was the importance of every child getting an adequate education, and having a healthy home environment too, right? So I think for anyone watching this podcast, if you served with City Year, or if you're a teacher or serving in some kind of way in the education field, I think you'll appreciate this. And I learned this mostly in my year with City Years, is a lot of times what prevents young people from doing well on that test, or even showing up to school on time, is other life things, right, that are going on. And maybe kid is just trying to get to school, but maybe a gang is trying to recruit him or her, right, along the way. So they have to take another route to school, or maybe there are drugs involved in a friend's life or a family member's life that prevents that student from being able to fully focus on their academics. So that's something that I took away from the experience, was just the importance of that, and also that we have great teachers in schools, because it's my opinion that being a teacher just might be the most important job in America.
And one of the most challenging and underpaid and like all the unders for the teachers. So if you're interested in becoming a teacher and also doing National Service Project, take a look at Teach for America. If you want to learn more about that, look at Christy Heine's podcast. I think it was podcast number 5 or something like that. But yeah, that's a really great reflection and also a reminder about the empathy to have. I believe it was an interview. I think it was with Libby, and she talked. Somebody on the podcast talked about their experience going into a school, and the person that they were mentoring was kind of having a hard day. And afterwards, they found out that that person's somebody in their family had just gotten shot the day earlier, right? And that was why this child was acting out in school. And so I think bringing your empathy and compassion and just waiting and saying, hey, what's going on there? Is there something we need to know about? Is super important. And I also love that City Year gives folks the skills, right? Gosh, I wish our schools were all different, right? I wish that our institutions that our young kids have to go through would be I don't know, some kind of fun course where you spend most of your time outside and just figuring out problems. And then in middle school, you kind of get the same training that you get in City Year and a little bit of, I don't know, other projects. And then when you're into your high school year, it's like NCCC and a little bit of, VISTA. You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be cool if we just built our education system around national service experiences? Let's make that happen. All right, so let's get out of that rabbit hole. So you
Well,
had a great.
you mentioned Teach for America. I should also mention, I have friends that went through City Year, and then after City Year, they went into Teach for America, which that is a fantastic path from City Year to Teach for America, and then potentially into a career in teaching.
Absolutely, 100%. So true. One of the things that I love most about this podcast is reflecting on a service year and hearing about the similar experiences. But I love to find out how people got to where they are now. So explain kind of that path to what you're doing now. And honestly, even though I interviewed you and I asked you to join the commission, I still don't really understand what your job is. So, and then I also want to dive into your experience of being recognized for the point of light on January 31st. But so what made you find this journey into what you're doing now? And how did service kind of through line, obviously through your family, but even from your city year experience?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people listening to or watching your podcast, my career path has been very much a zigzag, right? And I don't think I could have predicted, say, 10 years ago, that I would today in my day job be in consulting. And So today I work for a firm called Guidehouse. Guidehouse is a global consulting firm. And like a lot of consulting firms, there's a public sector side and a private sector side. I operate in the public sector side and in the firm's state and local government practice. And so tying this back to my time in national service, I now work in the state and local government practice, and there are definitely aspects of this that I appreciate because, well, what we do is solve the most complex challenges for cities, state agencies, public university systems. And so there's definitely a service aspect to that, right? Because we help these, say, cities or a state agency solve their most complex challenges to help them help their constituents and to better their communities. I know that's very broad, but it depends on the project as far as what I'm working on, of course. And I've worked on a number of projects so far, especially for the state of South Carolina. So,
Yeah, I was just going to say, it sounds like something that you did in city or at scale, right? Like as you're talking, it is broad, but I'm able to follow because I understand like you go into like during my service year, I went into an organization that wanted to build out environmental education programs and have volunteers that were going to support those programs. Okay, what's the issue here? Like this is the outcome that you want. These are the resources that you have. There's a big gap between those two things. So how do we need to get the outcome to line up with the resources? And then how do we funnel the people in? Right? It's like it's totally like city, you're totally got you ready for this, right? Like you're going to be solving really complex problems for cities and states and public universities. And you started a lot of that with like kind of your mindset and orientation on how to solve these issues of even recruitment. Like how do I find new people to fill in the gaps when we're all gone?
yeah, and with all of that stuff, especially when I was serving with City Year, you're building these hard skills and these soft skills, right? That will help you on your professional and your personal path in life. So there are certainly aspects of my City Year experience that I've taken with me throughout my professional journey, and I will continue to do so. With you, I mean, how did your You were, say, an executive director at the South Carolina Service Commission. I'll just use that as an example, but I could use other examples. But how did your service experience get you to that executive director position?
Yeah, I mean, I always reflect on my service year and I feel like it really captured me. And you know, this is kind of fresh of mind because I was just on a panel at the University of Maryland. I think it was the Criminal Justice Department, and we were talking about taking a gap year, even though AmeriCorps is not really a gap year. And I was trying to make that very clear. Like, bro, this is not a gap year. Like, I think gap years like, you know, I don't know. Hiking the Appalachian Trail, right? Which that's still hard in and of itself. Like a gap year for me would be like Cancun with the margarita, like every single day. But so you know, I reflect on how did my service year get me to the executive director position of two states, really? Like I was in Maryland and I was also in South Carolina. And honestly, like I know this podcast is about AmeriCorps, but it really wasn't about national service. It was about my ambition to keep pulling the thread and keep pulling the thread and peeling the onion back. And I had just great ambition of wanting to be in the room with the folks that are making the decision to understand how the sausage was made. And I didn't know if I really had anything to contribute, but I really wanted to understand how decisions were made at top levels. And national service was the niche and the platform that allowed me to kind of, you know, not even climb the rungs to get up into leadership, but to more to understand like how are these big decisions made? And then when I was at the executive director positions in both Maryland and South Carolina, they were two different animals, right? Like Maryland was in the governor's office. So those were decisions that were made behind closed doors that I never was let into. South Carolina was a nonprofit And those decisions were made more transparently, and we were more able to kind of direct our own path, if I could say that, like with some of the things that the decisions that the commission needs to make. But I will say the through line, to bring it back to your question, of my service year was the AmeriCorps members' experience on the ground. So even though we were making $100,000 decisions, $25,000 decisions, who are we going to fund? Ultimately, what I wanted to make sure was that that person that was put in that project was going to have a good experience. And yes, that the community was going to be served, but the community can be served without AmeriCorps. So if you're starting to implant people, you need to start investing in people. So for me, it was really because my experience as an AmeriCorps member was so pivotal to my professional development. And honestly, like my confidence in being able to see projects through, that I wanted to ensure that anybody that went through that position or anybody that went through that experience came out on the other side with something that they didn't know they had. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Well, thanks for asking. That was fun. I'm going to have to, like, when we're finished, I'm going to record and remember everything I said, because I think it was pretty good.
I agree.
So going, like, let's go to South Carolina, the commission. So can you explain for folks, and I can fill in the gaps if it's still a little wonky, but like, what does it mean to serve on a commission? And like, how did you find the opportunity? And like, why did you want to do it?
Yeah, so, and please jump in and fill in any gaps. You have a lot of experience with this. So I, back in 2015, I think it was, I served with a program that was through the Aspen Institute called the Franklin Project Ambassadors Program. And this was at the time, kind of an incubator project of the Aspen Institute led by General Stanley McChrystal. And there were a few of us from around the country, because I think there might have been, maybe there were 35 of us from around the country who came together. We gathered in DC at the Crystal's consulting headquarters that he has now in Alexandria. And we met and of course talked about the importance of service. And the whole idea of the Franklin Project was to promote and expand the idea of national service and service years across America, right? And so for that year, say my fellowship year, if you will, my focus was on promoting and expanding service year opportunities in Charleston. And so I spent a lot of time meeting with stakeholders from throughout the Charleston area. And the reason I mentioned this is because I, in 2015 to 2016, also met with commission staff and learned a lot more about the service commission, and even gave a presentation to the service commission at that time about what the Franklin Project was all about and how the commission could potentially use the resources of the Aspen Institute and the Franklin Project to build upon or promote whatever they were doing at the time. And so that's how I first found out about the Service Commission. And so fast forward a few years, I saw that there was a call for people to step up and serve. And like you said earlier in this call, I threw my hat in the ring and just one thing led to another. And like you said, I had my interview with you and I'm glad I did. I think I'm in going into year two of my commission service.
Yeah. And as a commissioner, you have such an influence on the direction of the commission. You know, the commissions really rely on the commissioner's experience and expertise, right? Like one of the things we talked about before recording was that, like, I'm learning so much more about AmeriCorps because when I was in the position of executive director, I was focused on my work. So in order for me to understand more about NCCC or VISTA or the disaster services, I would have to pick my head up and then go and learn about those things. And so we really rely on the commissions being the eyes and the ears of the community while we do the hard work of really grant management is what it is, and compliance, federal compliance. And so it's just so important. And I recall a conversation that we had kind of halfway through the time that I was down there, and you were really interested in focusing on youth and having them understand the ability, the availability and the opportunity to serve in national service, particularly in South Carolina, because so many folks, and what we learned through some of the research that the now executive director, Mark Weller, did, was that so many folks in South Carolina don't go to college. And they don't know that service is an option for them that could lead to college or could lead to workforce development. So what are your key goals right now on the commission that you're kind of focused on, that you're supporting?
Yeah, and this partly stems from my own experience with City Year, and this partly stems from my time with the Aspen Institute, and then subsequently the Service Year Alliance. Where the focus is on young people having the opportunity to serve, right? And when I say young people, I'm mainly talking about young people who graduate from high school, college, community college, then considering the opportunity to serve in their communities. It goes without saying that anybody can serve, and I want there to be opportunities for everyone to serve. And there are opportunities for everyone to serve. But like you said, when you were executive director, one of the things that I expressed for where I want my focus to be, at least in part, is making sure that young people across America, but especially in South Carolina, understand that there are opportunities to serve. And a part of that is, you know, when you serve with City Year or AmeriCorps, or you know, even the Peace Corps, actually, even the military, right? You develop these hard skills and these soft skills, and you are serving with people from all over the country. Usually, you're serving with people from different backgrounds. And so you are maybe interacting with people for an entire year, usually very closely, that you maybe otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to serve with, right?
For sure. Yep.
But just think about, so what I'm getting at is the let's call it the development of citizenship, right?
Mm.
So the focus on young people is just that. You know, there's, I think, somewhat of a bigger opportunity to develop citizens when you are allowing these opportunities for young people, again, at a high school, community college. Mm-hmm. To serve, because they're going to take those experiences and those hard skills that they can use for their next job with them for the rest of their lives.
Yep. And another thing that you carry with you the rest of your life are the connections, mm-hmm. right? Like that's the thing that like is so important. And again, wish it was like curriculum in middle school and high school, like how to nurture relationships with people and keep connections professionally, right? Like it's important to realize your social capital and to number one, nurture it, number two, protect it, and then number three, leverage it, and not leverage it in a exploitative way. I don't know if that's a word, but I make up words all the time, you know, not to exploit your relationships, but to really identify like, this is an opportunity for this person and that person to connect, and maybe something magical can happen. Or maybe I can interject myself here because they're doing this. And I think that that's something that, and what's so cool about national service too, is that that's supposed to be embedded into the program, right? And that's why I go back to that AmeriCorps members experience, because if they walk away with it feeling like, wow, you know, I was just interviewing a bunch of people. I think I mentioned this was off camera from the Baltimore Community Tool Bank. And I think that was a couple episodes ago. And Rachel Thompson mentions that she still keeps in touch with her NCCC folks. Like she talks to them all the time because they had that experience together and they came together from all over the country. So your point is so valid of, but we need to make sure that these opportunities are accessible and that the youth know, the young people know it's available and that they can do it.
Absolutely. And at the beginning of this conversation, Nikki, you mentioned something about how loneliness is a real issue in our country. And so there's that. And you know, I think I'd like to hear what you think, but we have the ability to get on Facebook and, you know, like you mentioned, LinkedIn and other social media platforms to interact with one another. But the funny part is social media, in my view, hasn't really made us more social. If anything, maybe it's created some divisions, right? And I'm worried that more and more so, we as citizens are listening to our own, you know, news sites, or watching our own separate news sites, only subscribing to specific news feeds, only talking to and interacting with certain groups or certain people. And so that I think is creating some divisions in this country. And so the wonderful thing about a service year is, especially when you do it at a younger age, is that you start off sort of life, right, with having that interaction with people from all different kinds of backgrounds and all different kinds of political beliefs and religious beliefs. And that's healthy. So it can help with the, like you said, the loneliness aspect. You're constantly around people. And not only are you constantly around people and usually a diverse group of people, but you're also doing a really important thing together. You're bettering a place together. You're bettering your community together. You're bettering your country together. I can't think of anything better than that.
I love how you keep bringing back to citizenship, and I think that's really important. And unfortunately, I think that even the word citizenship has now been polarized. I feel like some of the things that are just innate of being in a city, state, country, humanity has become polarized, and it's uncanny to me. And I have a lot of opinions, and we might have to do another podcast about that, because I 100% agree. In my 9-to-5 job, we're putting together a civic engagement a summit. And one of the things I was kind of adamant about, we need somebody to lead a conversation on media literacy and kind of understand that, like, your YouTube, I'm always on YouTube, your YouTube, your LinkedIn, your Instagram, your TikTok, all of the platforms that you use is an algorithm. So you're going to be fed the same stuff that you like. That's only what you're seeing. There's like a ton more. I don't listen to outside news. I read it every now and then just to make sure like the nuclear bomb is not hitting us right at that moment. You know, like because I like to keep my vibration very high. I like to stay in problem solving and not in fear, and fear sells. But I'm aware of that. I know that when I go to my feed, I am going to see puppies and cows. I had no idea that cows jumped around the same way as puppies, but they do. And it makes me so happy. But I also am aware that there's a crisis happening in Ukraine and Russia. And I see what's happening with Palestine and Israel. Like, I get all of that. But I understand that when I go into my social media, my brain is getting fed what I want to see. And so many people don't know that. Like, so many people think that their feed is the reality of what's happening across the world. We could go into a lot of that. Yes, 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 all of that.
Do you think that your service experience made you a more engaged citizen?
Did it make me a more... I think it... So I would have to define what that meant as far as engaged citizen. If we're talking about like voting specifically in that stuff, I wouldn't say that that was really that much of an influence with me. What it made me more aware of, and this wasn't necessarily during my service year, because I was kind of in a in a fog during my service year because it took me like 3 months to even realize I wasn't, I didn't have a job. I was in a service year, not a job. I was like, what? But when I started working for the AmeriCorps program, what it helped me understand were the systems that were causing the divide between people to be able to engage in citizenship or even just in their own humanity in some ways, if that makes sense. You
Yes.
know, kind of when I was in my AmeriCorps year, I was in it. Like, I was scrubbing oyster cages in March in Maryland. Like, I wasn't thinking about being a citizen. I was thinking about, are my toes going to fall off and am I going to slip in this frozen river? But it was really after the fact that I was able to. And it was probably because of those experiences. And I had to engage with volunteers that were willing to do some of the things that, you know, they really cared about. And then thinking about the policies that are put into place that block or inhibit or help some of the things that we were trying to do during my service year.
Yeah, I think everyone's path is a little different, but I think, generally a service year can it helps make someone more aware and more engaged generally, right? Maybe that means voting more. Maybe that means as you progress in your career and your life that you get involved with nonprofit boards. Maybe you work for a nonprofit. Maybe you volunteer at your local animal shelter more often than you otherwise would have, whatever that looks like for any given person. But I think the idea is that I think it does generally make people more engaged and aware people and citizens.
Absolutely. I want to find an off ramp. That's what Tom or Tim Ferriss says. I was just listening to a podcast and he's like, we got to find an off ramp to this.
Off ramp. All right.
Yeah. So I want to segue into the points of light recognition that you received because I'm just super curious. Number one, like, how were you contacted? And I know that as soon as this popped up, I went into it. I'm like, wow, you can like nominate somebody. And it's like a super cool process. So what was your experience and engagement with that when you found out you were that point of light on January 31st?
Yeah, I don't think it's a complicated process. Like you said, you're nominated. The person who nominates you, and this came as a total surprise to me, but I was, of course, contacted by Points of Light, and they said, "Hey, you've been nominated." And then what they did is they asked me what they said, "This is why you've been nominated," and then they asked me a bunch of questions because then what happens is, I think behind the scenes at Points of Light, they get together and figure out, is this person, is their service experience relevant to this organization and to this award? So that's how it worked. And then they got back to me and said, eventually, congratulations, you've been nominated as a Points of Light, Daily Points of Light honoree. And then after that, there was an interview. And so I answered a bunch of questions, and then they highlighted the service work that I'm doing with the South Dakota Service Commission, which, by the way, if anything, the Points of Light Award is, and for those listening, this is a fantastic way to shine a light on what you're doing, what someone is doing that you know that is service related in your community that you see is really impactful, important. And so for me, this was, and you'll appreciate this, Nikki, that for me, it was a really nice way to shine a light on not just what I'm doing with the service commission, but what all commissioners are doing, what the service commission is doing, and what the service commission is all about. And also what the dedicated staff at the South Carolina Service Commission are doing as well. So we can't forget about them. The being a commissioner is 100% volunteer, which, by the way, is one of the qualifications for the Daily Points of Light. It can't be something you're paid to do. And but the staff there at the South Carolina Service Commission, they are the people behind the scenes making the wheels go. At the wheels turn, and they make sure that we're all on time and that we're all set for the meetings, the commission meetings, and that we're all set to work on the AmeriCorps grants that are distributed throughout the state of South Carolina, and that we're all ready to work on the state service plan. So Huge shout out to the staff too.
Yeah, and I think that like absolutely the staff are like key. And I agree. I think for anybody that's definitely I'll make sure links are in for the Points of Light award nomination process. But it is such a great platform, and being part of like the I guess the portfolio of Points of Light is huge. Are you going to be going to the conference? I don't know. They have a conference coming up in June, I think. I don't know. Probably not. I went to the conference in 2019, I think. It was so much fun. It was great. It's a super uber awesome conference if anybody is interested in all streams of national service, corporate social responsibility. I mean, it's a cool conference. It's very, very cool, and you walk away with a lot of connections and just feeling really, really good. But I
I
can't
have.
think of. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, I actually have a conflict this year, so I can't go, unfortunately. But it's already on my calendar to tentatively attend next year. What I also recently learned is they have a global conference as well.
Get out of town.
Yeah, Global Volunteer Conference. So this year it was in Warsaw, which if you've never been to Warsaw, it's a wonderful city to visit.
Well, I'm going to circle back around with you on that because as much as I enjoyed the, I think we were in Minnesota. I can't remember where we were. Minnesota? Anyways, I would love to travel out of state. I need to renew my passport. I keep saying that I need to do that. But then I Google how to renew your passport, and then I get some weird pop-up ad that's like, just send us $250,000 and we'll do it for you. I'm like, what? Well, this was super great. I want to just ask two more quick questions, and I can't think of anybody else that would just really qualify for the Points of Light. So congratulations on that, and that it's just super awesome.
Thanks.
I want to ask, what are you super excited about, either personally or professionally, that's coming up in the next 3, 6 months, year, other than going to the Points of Light global conference? But what is Gordon Rooney really excited about right now?
Oh, there's so much. How much time do we have here, Nikki?
We have
Land
to land the plane, Gordon.
the plane. All right. Well, speaking of being engaged, I serve on the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition's South Carolina Advisory Committee. And basically what we do is promote U.S. global leadership around the world and how important that is, and how important that is for jobs in a place like South Carolina, but also for national security reasons. And I don't think that I would have ever moved into this space if it weren't for this experience in national service and the national service realm. And so I'll be attending the Global Impact Forum of the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition in D.C. in June. And so that'll be a wonderful opportunity to see friends and fellow committee members and also see some members of Congress on the Hill and let them know how important this is to communities throughout South Carolina.
Yeah, and this is the point of the podcast. Like, you are an AmeriCorps alum who went through a service year, and now you are in a position of influence, and you're going to actually be in front of our Congress people. And how important is it for us that are in power positions of influence to double down on the importance of this experience? So that is exciting for you. Hurrah. And it's also exciting for you to slip in there. Oh, and there's this national service thing that, oh, I don't know, the budget's about to be cut by 50%. So, like, oh, I don't know, maybe make sure that doesn't happen. Just saying. I know States for Service and Service Year Alliance have got the handle on the advocacy piece, but I'm going to use this platform because I am no longer an executive director, so I can advocate. So that is very exciting, very, very exciting that you're in that position. So as you think about the AmeriCorps alum, I guess, stratosphere, we're 1.3 million that have gone through the service project or through a service year. What do you think we could do as a voice, as an alumni group?
What do you think we could do as far as promoting service or just as a kind of a collective voice?
Yeah, I mean, anything. Like, what would you like to see more of coming together regionally, heading to DC to let them know about all of the amazing folks that have served and how this is a program that truly reaches across the aisle and truly reaches impacts throughout the country? I don't know, sharing resources with each other, providing professional development, coaching opportunities, mentoring current members. These are all things that I've heard from other interviewees.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that comes to mind, two things. One, I think that it's first really important that we are always on our A game. And what do I mean by that? I think that it's important for us to always be aware of the opportunities that are available to serve. And so that when So you, Nikki, and anyone listening to this, to this podcast, if you run into somebody, especially a young person graduating from high school or community college or college, and they're looking for that next thing, what better way to spend your time after graduating than a year of service? The thing is, a lot of young people, a lot of people in general, don't know that these opportunities even exist, right? So when you ask me what do I think we should do as a community, I think we need to work harder at getting the word out that opportunities to serve with great organizations like CityAir and AmeriCorps and Habitat for Humanity and the Peace Corps, if joining the military isn't your thing, that's fine. There are so many other ways to serve. And there are service year opportunities across America. And no matter where you are listening to this podcast, there is likely an AmeriCorps opportunity near your house, even. And if you want to get out of your state, you want to get out of your city, there's opportunities in really cool places doing all kinds of things. And so, number one, the idea is just to get the word out. And number two, if you're someone who's inclined to go to your state's capital or state house, or to our nation's capital and talk to our elected representatives about the importance of service, please do so, because it's really important for our elected members to hear from their constituents and they do listen. Service is totally nonpartisan, right? If you're a conservative, if you lean left, it doesn't matter. Service is not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing, right? So I think that's important. And I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, Nikki, but I would also like you that the AmeriCorps Education Award not axed. So if you're needing something, a specific item to talk about, if you go to a place like Capitol Hill, advocate for eliminating the tax on the Education Award for when someone finishes their year of service with AmeriCorps.
Such actionable items and so doable. I really like the being on your A game perspective, and that, having we walk into a room and people ask us to introduce ourselves, and we usually say, like, oh, I'm a UMBC grad and I got my graduate certificate from University of Maryland. The first thing that I'm saying now is I'm an AmeriCorps alum, and people are like, what the heck's that? Or they're like, wait, I am too, right? Like, you kind of go with those two different responses of like, I am an AmeriCorps alum too, or like, what's AmeriCorps? I love that. And I think that I'm just gonna end the podcast with challenging folks with introducing yourself first as an AmeriCorps alum, and then talking about all of the things that maybe you are or you do or whatever. Gordon, this has been so special and so wonderful. I so appreciate you reconnecting with me, and congratulations with your points of light and everything that you're doing. Do you have any last sort of thoughts or anything that you want to share before we close down?
I just want to say, I mentioned that I grew up in a family that was that's inclined toward public service. I can remember my dad saying, "If not you, then who?" And so I kind of grew up with that in my head. And I think with a service experience with AmeriCorps or CityAir or another program, one of the things that you get out of that is to always be a participant, right? Instead of a spectator. And so I would just encourage everyone to be just that. Always be a participant in your community versus a spectator. And I also want to thank you, Nikki, for having me on this. This has been so fun and just a nice opportunity to reconnect with you. And I hope we can continue the conversation after this.
I think we need to rally the troops. And I love that last little challenge. Get on the field. Get on the field and play. Thank you so
Yeah.
much. And thank you all. I think this is one of the longest ones. You might win the longest one. We got to edit it still. Thank you all for tuning into the AmeriCorps Connections podcast. And as always, if I can, I will get another one out to you all next week. And stay tuned, like, subscribe, and do all the things because it actually really does matter. Thanks so much, Gordon, and see you all later.